Hello and welcome to WTM Insights, the official podcast of the World Travel Market London, the leading event for travel professionals. I'm your host, travel journalist Lisa Francesca Nand, bringing you the latest global trends, expert speakers and analysis within the travel and tourism industry. Well, this is a live recording of the WTM Insights podcast. I'm Lisa Francesca Nand. I'm the host of WTM Insights podcast and also the big travel podcast. And today we're discussing the pros and cons of hosting major film and TV projects in a destination. We've got some great guests here for you on the panel, some very big productions, film and TV. So we're courting Hollywood, the pros and cons of playing host to a major blockbuster. Now, spending on film and television productions can create significant economic benefit for residents and businesses, as well as substantial tax revenues for national and local governments, with potential benefits such as growing a regional film industry, stimulating the economy through overspill benefits, and of course, what a lot of us are interested in is actually stimulating tourism, not just short-term, but hopefully long-term. So on this episode, special episode recorded live at WTM London, we'll explore the complexities and benefits of hosting major broadcast productions, including TV series, through to blockbuster films, and discuss any of these benefits. Now, I've got a great panel here, as I said, and I'm going to be asking our panelists to introduce themselves one by one and perhaps say a little bit about what films you've hosted or TV productions you've hosted in your destinations.
I have two introductions for myself today. I'm Bond, James Bond. I'm Donovan White, the Director of Tourism for Jamaica. And we have had the good fortune of, over the years, working with a number of blockbuster films that have either been shot on location in Jamaica or part filmed in Jamaica. The most recent one, obviously, is the new Bond that is to be premiered next April. No Time to Die. This is part of a long tradition of hosting Bond films in Jamaica. The first Bond, Dr. No, was actually shot on location in Jamaica. And Ian Fleming has a long history of having written several of the Bond films in Jamaica at the Golden Eye Resort. So we have a storied history with the Bond Institute. And we were able to, you know, through a number of initiatives, encourage and indeed, won the opportunity to host Bond again for 2020. So we're very happy about that. Beyond that, we've done in the past, global films like Harder They Come in 1972 with Jimmy Cliff, who is a renowned reggae performer. As the co-star for that film. We've had Cocktails with Tom Cruise. We've had Countryman. We've had recently. Several Hollywood quarters who have done scenes for their films in Jamaica. So we believe we've done well in the area. And I'm interested to talk about more about the preparation and business side of hosting a film in your country.
Judith, you're from Northern Ireland, and obviously a little bit different to Jamaica, but still just as special in many ways. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Yes. And also the destination. Yes. Of the film location destination.
Of course, yes. I'm from Tourism Northern Ireland, the national organisation for tourism. And certainly tourism is a growth sector, contributing about 1 million to our economy. And screen tourism has become increasingly important to our tourism strategy over the years. We have hosted many large-scale films and TV productions, but certainly the production of Game of Thrones has been, without a doubt, transformative for our screen tourism industry and for the film industry too. In 2009, Northern Ireland Screen took a real risk and invested significantly in the pilot show of Game of Thrones. And who would have thought that it has become the global phenomena that it is today, and that we would have been the principal filming location for a full decade. So we've worked with partners to really maximize the tourism opportunity. And we've worked with the industry to develop innovative and engaging visitor experiences. And of course, with HBO's blessing, we've been able to promote Northern Ireland as Game of Thrones territory in our international marketing campaigns. So we've been on an amazing journey, and one that I'm happy and delighted to share with you today. We have a lot of number of other productions at the moment with Dublin Murders, which is predominantly filmed in the north of Ireland. And of course, everybody enjoys a good sense of humour from Derry Girls that's screened in Derry. So thank you very much.
Lovely, thank you. I'm looking forward to asking you about in more detail about Game of Thrones and how, because you didn't expect it was going to be such a big deal, how that actually affected people, but I will get round to that. Dr. Abed from Jordan, please tell us who you are and a bit about your destination in relation to film.
So I'm the managing director of Jordan Tourism Board. As Jordan as a destination, I think we have go back to history, to Indiana Jones, where the first movie filmed in Jordan, Petra, Indiana Jones and Lawrence of Arabia. And we continue featuring Jordan as a film destination. And recently, they finished with the Star Wars in Jordan, and Aladdin took place in Jordan, especially in Wadi Rum. And part of Transformers also filmed in Jordan. As a country, as a destination, Jordan is a sample of continents. We have it all. So in the north, you have the forest, the greenery parts, you have all the new Amman, the capital, and you have the desert and the sea. So no need to move all the crew to just to change the location or destination. So a small country can offer and can cater for the film industry. One of the campaigns that happened here in the UK when they filmed The Martian. The Martian was in Wadi Rum, because Wadi Rum looks like the Mars. So the campaign was, it's already in the London buses, where we co-brand the film with Jordan. It's 5 million, I think, miles to go to Mars, where in 5 hours you can be in Jordan, Wadi Rum, the same place. So we have now the experience of Wadi Rum and the Martian. In Wadi Rum, we can see the hubs or the tents, the bubbles, where it looks like the movie. Tourists are enjoying and experiencing the Martian, let's say, experience. And there are a lot of films in the pipeline, and I think we will announce it soon.
Yeah. I think lots of people are probably excited about the new Star Wars film and the new Bond film, actually. They're very exciting. Colin, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and the destination in relation to films?
Wonderful. Colin Piper, CEO and Director of Tourism for the island of Dominica. Happy to be here and be part of this panel. Our history with film has gone back a ways, starting with our relationship with the author from the UK, Gene Rees, who has history with Dominica, and one of the first productions to come out of Dominica would have been The Orchid House. But most recently, we've been fortunate to attract some from Hollywood, and so the Disney production, The Pirates of the Caribbean, is our claim to fame, much like you have the Bond series. We had the second and third edition of those films filmed in Dominica. So a number of spots in Dominica even today are being utilized as part of our tourism product. So from that came certainly economic spin-off, as you would imagine, and also came kind of a training of local people to be a part of the film industry, who have gone on themselves to generate content and capture a Dominica on film and be able to distribute that worldwide. So we've also done a number of productions for the Discovery Channel out of the UK. Programs like Naked and Afraid and some of these sorts of things. So we're looking for Dominica. We're promoting Dominica certainly as a location for film, but also for TV productions, documentaries, and for still images as well.
Well, let's start from the very beginning, when a film comes to your destination. I mean, the hope is that it brings revenue, there's tax revenue, there's also local business revenue, the hope is that people are employed, there's jobs out of it. Do you see that immediate impact in terms of jobs and infrastructure improvements when they come on site, when they're there?
I think it actually starts before, because it does take quite a bit of thinking, planning, strategizing, understanding of the different levers to pull to make some of those things happen. It's usually a discussion with the highest level of government that then filters through the various areas of importance, whether it's culture, film and industry, commerce, finance, so it goes through almost the rudiments of government. Then depending on how your government is structured, it may have to go all the way to your cabinet and parliament to get approval, because it usually comes at a cost. But then that cost is part of what you call, I suppose, in business, capital, because the spin-off is what you get. The spin-off you get is from, being able to provide the film crews, in the case of where that is needed, being able to provide talent from some of our... We have universities in Jamaica that actually turns out people in the film training institute side of things, where some of our actors are born. We have a very, very active theater scene in Jamaica, where lots of actors and actresses come out of the... and then you have people from the film industry who, when there is need to create, film scenes, will come and do their own recruiting drive. So it does create a bit of an uplift from an economic standpoint through the various industries that it impacts. So on the employment side, people who work on the technical side, but also on the in front of the camera, but also all of the trade pieces that fit into the location scenes and the industry that it creates for that. For example, in the case of Bond, a tremendous amount of the scenery that was shot in Jamaica for No Time to Die was done in Portland, which is one of our marketed tourism destinations. And there were areas of Portland that were enshrined and shown as part of the film that, from a marketing perspective, you can't pay for that in terms of buying advertising. You could never afford to buy advertising for that. That goes into a film that is then cascaded across the world in 200, 300 plus countries that, billions of people gets to see. So the knock-on effect is one of understanding, first of all, what's the level of investment that is required to make it work for the producers, but also what is the return on that investment as a destination to the various sectors and economies within your space that benefits from it.
And they're paying you. You're not, absolutely. You can't, where you say you can't buy that level of advertising, yeah. They're actually paying you.
Absolutely.
And it's great to know that they are, you're saying that they do hire local people, they're not just swanning in,
absolutely.
With their crews,
absolutely.
And local people get
we,
jobs.
We certainly benefited from that, that they actually recruited for production people out of Jamaica. Jamaica's had a storied history in the business of production, because whether it's sports or film or drama series or whatever, we've been able to provide talent to various production houses, especially out of north of us, Hollywood, that have done well and therefore have set the stage for, when movie makers come calling, there is ready talent available for them to pull from.
That's wonderful. And we'll talk about legacy towards the end, but it's wonderful that people getting that first job in media, even as an intern, and hopefully they're actually paying them as well, is actually often the first step to, yep. getting your career. You've got something on your CV.
Absolutely.
To get you the next,
yes.
open the next door. Judith, have you noticed, are there jobs, are there literally jobs for local people?
Absolutely. the sort of film industry has really been bubbling away for a lot of years and producing some really good stuff. But our industry and film crew often had to go outside Northern Ireland to get work. So with the experience and the longevity of the work that was involved with Game of Thrones over 10 years, that really has essentially built up a whole new tourism industry and made it sustainable. And also developed this incredible skills base working on such a high-end production TV show. So it has been absolutely amazing, and the film commissioners would help fund a lot of the productions, and part of their criteria would be that they use the local industry, so they use the film crew that are available and the talent that's available in Northern Ireland. And we also have a very large extras, Northern Ireland extras, so for those big scenes or for individual characters, we have a real resource in Northern Ireland. So again, the benefits are huge, and creating employment and sustaining that employment has really been remarkable.
Dr. Abed, in terms of jobs, you know, has it provided local jobs, but also has the infrastructure been worked on? You know, because your films are taking place in Wadi Rum, which is not, you know, set up as it, I'm imagining they're having to bring in a lot of equipment. Has it generated work? Has it, was the infrastructure there? You know, what happened?
Definitely, yes. The positive impact from the film industry, the beginning is by bringing the decision makers, when you just host the producers and just to show them the destination, when they have to see to believe. Because when you host the, let's say, crew or producers from international, like Hollywood, Bollywood, or any company that doing this kind of big films, they found that there is a big opportunity to have their investment or to film in these destinations. The impact was we have a paradigm shift in terms of the film industry in Jordan, in terms of creating jobs. Give you an example that the local communities in the Wadi Rum benefited from the film industry. Now I can tell you we have 3,000 employees well trained to deal with the TV producers in Wadi Rum, it's from the local community, in terms of the riding horses, catering, technicians, and also because people in Jordan, the in the high level, the directors, now we have at least 10 professional directors already graduated from Disney, from Hollywood, already well trained. So we have the capacity to host and cooperate directly with the big production. They don't need to flow to bring the directors from London, let's say, or from Korea or from Japan to be part of the production. We have the equipment, we have the cameras, and we have all the sets needed for the film production in Jordan. And that's why we have a royal vision, that we have the Royal Film Commission. They're taking care of the film industry and the production in Jordan for training, capacity building, and how to deal with such big or mega projects. The impact in tourism was very clear in terms, when I give you an example, when the Star Wars just stayed in Jordan for 1 month, all the hotels in Aqaba was fully booked. They booked all the hotels in Aqaba, and that means, you know, it affected the daily life of the Jordanians, that they hire more employees just to face and cater for the needs of this kind of production. That's why now the government is providing some kind of incentives for this producers, as you know, waiving the taxes, sale tax, because this is not an exemption; it's an investment where they come and interact with the local community. They stay in the country, they eat and they sleep and they go around and they do shopping. Give you just one number, the ROI, the return on investment. Let's say the cost of hosting a decision maker for any destination, maybe you will host them and pay the tickets on their behalf or maybe for the hotel accommodation. But one film to be filmed in any destination, they will pay up between 12 to 20 million in the economy. Imagine the return on investment and the job creation. And in Jordan, in our case, We don't have natural resources. We have just tourism. So now we have a commitment and we have a support from the government that the main driver for our economy is tourism. That's why they are now increasing and providing all kinds of support for the tourism sector, especially for the film production in the country.
Like Donovan says, you can't buy that kind of advertising, can you? And that kind of revenue, and it's coming in and people are coming to you. So we will talk about whether there are any negative aspects about this in a minute, but so far also positive. Colin, jobs and infrastructure, immediate effects from the beginning when the movie industry arrives there?
Yeah, in the case of Pirates of the Caribbean, we saw that very clearly. They came in and probably spent about $10 million bringing in a crew of cast and crew of close to 500 people. So we had all the private residences, properties that we could were rented out. You know, that was for a period of about 3 to 4 months. So we calculated that the kind of economic contribution into the economy beyond that 10 million probably was in the 5 to 1. So we're looking at about 50 million. But beyond that, you know, what we saw in Dominica is that, you know, we're only an island of 72,000. So when you speak about some of the numbers that are coming into Jamaica and Jordan, you know, we saw the impact more in terms of allowing a core set of people who had a passion about filmmaking and who were into cameras and the creative side of things, giving them now an opportunity to be a part of that, either through internships. So we saw that being spawned. We had a number of camera people who worked on Pirates of the Caribbean, who then afterward became part of the Survivor franchise. After that, we saw the production crew from Disney come back and try to do a reality show in Dominica, Pirate Master, for one season. So there's a number of, you know, it wasn't the mass in terms of infrastructure, but it was the lasting effects of having come in and the difference in some of the lives of people that were made. So those who were technically oriented had an opportunity. Those who were, you know, builders of sets and that type of thing. So Pirates of the Caribbean certainly was a wonderful opportunity. As I mentioned, there was a spin-off of Pirate Masters. And then in terms of some of the other documentaries and things that have come about, we've created one lasting location scouting company that actually is the entity that Discovery Channel comes to in the Caribbean when they want to do filming in the Caribbean. So from Little Dominica has spawned this creative enterprise, and that is benefiting a lot of the Caribbean otherwise. So in that regard, and one lasting piece of infrastructure is one set that was used on the Pirate of the Caribbean that is still in existence today and is being used. But on the creative side, the other thing that happened was to take a green field, just an open space, and through set building and design to show people what it is that could come about as a result. So many of you transformed your cities, which were there. We transformed our open spaces, which are why people come to Dominica. Rainforest without poisonous animals. So if you have jungle and rainforest scenes that you need to do, then certainly we're a destination that that looks attractive.
Are there any negative sides to it? I don't want to dwell too much about this because I want to move on to how it affects tourism, because it's probably what the most of us are concerned with. But are there any negative aspects of having, you know, thousands, because there are thousands of people on a film set trampling all over your lovely desert or, you know, beautiful Caribbean island, or any negative aspects that you'd like to volunteer?
Well, you know, it depends on the nature of the film, because the film itself can cause a portrayal or mirror an image onto a destination. And, you know, you've seen film where, you know, not necessarily out of Jamaica, but in other destinations where, you know, the certain scenes, how they're depicted, how they're portrayed, how they're written into the script, can mirror itself onto a destination if it's immediately identified, oh, that is that place. You know, so because it's all about the psyche of the viewer, of the imagination of the that it portrays onto you as the recipient of the end product. And so that's always you know, part of any, I suppose, discussion in terms of you know, what's the film about, what's the concept, what's the you know, what's the target market, what are you trying to portray, because you want to make sure as marketers, at the end of the day, we are the gatekeepers of our destination brands and the image that we portray out in the public space. And if this is going to hit, you know, a billion viewers around the world, you know, I also want to understand as the brand gatekeeper, you know, how my destination is going to be impacted by that. So from the, in terms of, it can be both negative and positive, but at the same time, you always want to understand from a brand connection, brand portrayal, brand awareness standpoint, how the message of the film is being juxtaposed against your destination.
Judith, any negative aspects of having Game of Thrones?
I can only think that it's been such a positive experience. And I think for our population in Northern Ireland, there's a real sense of civic pride to do with these big production companies coming to little Northern Ireland to these amazing film and TV projects. And having talent from famous people walking our streets, drinking our Guinness in our pubs, it really is such a sense of pride. And because so many people are now involved in the creative industries, they are just so proud to be part of that. And that comes across hugely and adds value to everybody's lives. So I really can't see that there's been any negative. And as Game of Thrones, which has been our biggest sort of gift ever, blood and guts, but it really is still showcasing the beauty and beautiful landscapes of Northern Ireland.
And also, it's not real, is it? Everyone knows that it's not real, and that this isn't happening in Northern Ireland.
It's definitely not happening.
It's been a few years since I've been there.
Exactly. No, it's a positive, and it's that sort of transition from fantasy of the show to the reality of Northern Ireland, and that's what people are experiencing. So it really is a positive.
Dr. Abed, have you found anything negative that you'd like to say? Infrastructure, you know, sort of too much traffic going through your nice, peaceful areas?
I'm just always thinking positive, but it's generally, we didn't experience that in Jordan. But generally speaking, for the destinations that always they are labeled as a film destinations, as an advice, just don't bring more people to your sites. The over-tourism will ruin the sites, and maybe they destroy the ecosystem. So this is just an advice, because now let's give you an example. In Petra, it's a World Heritage UNESCO site. We have regulations that it's not allowed on a daily basis to have more than 3,000 visitors per day, because it's fragile. We have this regulation with UNESCO, and we stick to that to preserve the site itself. So we have very strict regulations within the site itself. The message of the film, as you mentioned, if you label a destination that connected with a tourism, or maybe for the poverty, or maybe something negative related to a story, co-branded, and you add the country name with it, this will affect negatively the country. So the script writers and even the regulations or the regulators that reviewing the scripts to make sure that they will not mention the name of the country and to be labeled with the story, the negative story within the factor, to just to be careful. In Jordan, we didn't witness that because they featured Jordan in our experience in a very nice way, unique and out of this world, especially in Wadi Rum, it's like Mars. And showing the hospitality of Jordanians. And one more thing, one of the directors told me, it's something very strange, that the lens of the camera loves the Jordanian weather. So why? Because you don't have the humidity. So no need for doing the filtering or doing the montage for the scenes. because we have very nice weather in Jordan. There is no humidity over the camera that needs more. There is no dust, no humidity, so there is no extra work for the technicians to filter the pictures and make it HD or something like that. So, mainly speaking, I didn't hear about the negative impact of the film industry on destination, but this is an advice for the future not to go for more than, let's say, the capacity that of your site, so it just will ruin the ecosystem.
Oh, it's a huge problem. Over-tourism is obviously a whole other topic, but it's a huge, huge problem and something we all, you know, responsibly as travel industry people do need to, you know, keep an eye on. Colin, have you had any negative impacts from filming Pirates of the Caribbean or other films?
No, not that I can recall. Certainly, the comments of my colleagues we would take on board and want to make sure that the script was in sync with what we as a nature island of the Caribbean would want to do. So that's one area that we would be cautious of and be careful about. The other thing, obviously, would be the overcapacity. We too have a UNESCO World Heritage site and a number of sites and attractions which are in keeping with our branding. And so we would want to make sure that the carrying capacity was upheld. And then in keeping with what it is that we have to offer to the film, which are the wide open spaces and particularly nice natural sets, we would make sure that in discussion amongst beforehand, that these were things that were taken into account. The one thing that maybe we'll get into later is maybe how we could have created more of a positive impact of the films coming and being filmed on the island. But much like we don't want to be associated with a script if it's negative, of course we want to be associated with it if it's positive. And sometimes you don't have the resources to do that, all right, to positively exploit the affiliation with the film. So not a negative, but maybe a missed opportunity is one of the things that we have to be mindful of as well, and make sure we have that in the agreement and contract and understanding, because sometimes when you run into certain franchises, they're fairly protective of what it is that you can and can't do. But we need to be mindful of how we have the destination benefit from these sorts of
It's interesting, things. Isn't it? Because I think even, you know, the old sort of old adage of all publicity is good publicity, mm-hmm. is actually not a bad thing. When you think of something like Narcos, you know, that's put Colombia, it didn't shine a great light on it at all, but it's actually done some good things for tourism. You know, people are talking about it more, people are going there, which segues actually nicely into the tourism side of it, because that's what we hope, isn't it, that the film is going to drive. Obviously, you're going to bring money and investment and jobs, but we hope also, as tourism authorities, that it's going to drive tourism. Have you noticed an increase in tourism? Is it tangible as a result of the Bond movies and other film projects?
Well, it's always hard to directly measure the direct impact from a tourist arrivals perspective. And so one of the upsides of this particular project with Bond that we have landed on is the fact that because we have such a long and storied history, having done Bond films previously and having so much heritage with Ian Fleming and GoldenEye and leading to this new Bond project, is that we have decided to create a legacy project in creating a Bond trail in Jamaica for visitors to be able to explore or to come to Jamaica to explore, to see the places, things, people, you know, artifacts of the film, and in some cases curating some of the sets, so that it becomes part of the legacy of us being able to curate experiences that are directly related to having either seen the film, hear about the film, know that it was filmed in Jamaica, and want to be part of that experience. What that will do then is give us a more measurable approach to connect the allure and impact of a Bond to the connection to Jamaica, and then therefore measure, you know, in a more meaningful way, you know, if people are actually, if it's in demand and people are asking for it and are paying to, you know, have it as an attraction, then it becomes, you know, an experience that we could put against a particular thing. But to you know, to embellish the point even more, the our history with Hollywood has been one that is well documented. How Stella Got Her Groove Back was part filmed in Jamaica. Cocktails, as I mentioned earlier, with Tom Cruise was filmed in Jamaica in 1989. Harder They Come was filmed in Jamaica in 1972. Dr. No was filmed in Jamaica in 1962. You know, and there's been a recent project that Will Smith spearheaded, a film called Sprinter, which was a story of a Jamaican sprinter, somewhat in the mold of a Usain Bolt, that he spearheaded, Will Smith spearheaded with his company to underwrite the production of the film with a Jamaican producer, Storm Salter, you know, which has done extremely well in the international space. And so, you know, when you put it all into context, I suppose it is easy to understand that we are able to pitch the destination from a tourism perspective against the fact that we've been able to attract some of these large Hollywood films and been able to demonstrate and illustrate parts and parcels of Jamaica on a film stage, you know, for such a long time that it becomes an allure, an aspiration for travelers to see what this is all about and this place that they've heard about in films or seen in films. So it is part of our toolkit of marketing to ensure that when we speak about things to do that are different in Jamaica than probably most other places, is the fact that you've seen it, you've tasted it, now come and experience it.
You've sold me. I feel like going to Jamaica right now, sipping cocktails with Tom Cruise. Judith, is yours more as a smaller destination? Is it more quantifiable, the influx of tourists? Has there been an influx of tourists?
Yes. As Donovan was saying, it's so difficult to really quantify the impact in terms of visitor numbers and in terms of value to the economy. And we've had different attempts at that as well. Our recent figures that we gathered for 2018 are indicating that 1 in 6 visitors to Northern Ireland are coming because they want to visit those locations where Game of Thrones was filmed. We're in a really, I suppose, with Game of Thrones, the situation is that there is a die-hard fan base. It's global. And these guys are highly motivated to walk in the footsteps of their favorite stars, to see where those climatic and striking scenes were filmed. So they are highly motivated. And it probably took us a bit of time to respond and to understand that actually people are coming here to see this. And it maybe took one or two of the more entrepreneurial tourism operators to identify this demand and to respond to it. And then we sort of did a bit of a catch-up. And because of Game of Thrones taking 10 years to film the eight series, we had the time to build really positive and trusting relationship with the production company, with HBO. And that has allowed us to do so many things. To first of all, promote ourselves as Game of Thrones territory, which is going out globally. And the association between Northern Ireland and Game of Thrones is now great awareness and bang on. And people are coming, and they're also becoming, because we've worked with the industry to layer the visitor experience. So people not only can see the locations, which there are 26 of, but they're able to immerse themselves in the show. They're able to be guided by guides who are extras on the show, who give them snippets of insights, and they're getting more and more immersed in the show. They're able to get costumed up, wear the cloaks, be Jon Snow for a day. And these things are all adding to that immersive and truly authentic experience. So all this is adding. And of course, social media is enormous in terms of promoting what everybody's doing. All those bragging points are happening and more people are coming. So certainly we are witnessing a real influx of visitors because of that high interest in Game of Thrones.
And something, the most interesting thing about that is it wasn't anticipated. You know, you took a chance 10 years ago on a small pilot, and there you go.
And absolutely, it's that phenomena that we never guessed. Yeah.
Dr. Abed, have you seen, is it tangible, the influx of tourists? You know, how do you quantify it? Have you seen an uptick in tourists, you think?
Actually, you can't measure the direct, let's say, action that affected directly the number, the growth of the tourism. But it's one of the factors that help, and maybe give you more exposure in direct marketing when you co-brand the country with the with the film, and we just feature the local experiences of the country of Jordan, let's say, and these movies. But you can tell when the there's a high demand on the transparent bubbles in Wadi Rum, which is telling the story of the lived experience of the Martian, that you are in the Mars. So we have, I can measure the number of investments is taking place just to have this kind of tents, which is like the bubbles, that you can do the stargazing at night and have this, the Martian experience. I can just quantify the number of investments. But generally speaking, now Jordan witnessed a double-digit growth for the past 2 years because of different factors. You know, the low-cost carriers like EasyJet, Ryanair, opening new routes to Jordan. This is, you can see, that's a direct impact on the tourism. Also, the sets itself, just to follow the steps, as you mentioned, of the movies where the location of the film have been shooted, definitely the tourists are eager, and they have this curiosity to go and to live the experience where Will Smith was in Aladdin, sitting in the cave, and all the experience took place in the Wadi Rum. So a lot of tourists want to go and live the atmosphere of the movie and where the incidents happened in the movie. This is the only way that you can measure just the investments or maybe the number of visitors going to the exact set or the location after the certain movie filmed in the country. I think now we are in the process of creating the set or the Aladdin and Star Wars experience in Jordan, and I'm sure that there will be a lot of demand to just to wear the costumes and maybe have a movie representing the experience of Aladdin or Star Wars, and then we can tell that there's an additional, let's say, tourism coming to the destination or the site because of the movie.
Colin, have you noticed an uptick in tourism?
It's difficult for us to, mention the direct correlation. But what we know is there's a general increase in awareness, and then you hope that translates itself into a call to action, which is to visit. I think one of the things that, in listening to my colleagues here, that we would do slightly differently is the planning going into it. We would understand what we wanted coming out of it. So a number of the sets for Pirates of the Caribbean, for example, were built on private lands. And so the sets, and for insurance purposes, the sets were deconstructed afterwards. So whereas it spawned creativity and what you could do with a wide open space, it didn't leave us with the infrastructure that we could have utilized thereafter. So part of what we now have to do is recreate those sets. And that's where, learning from Jamaica, you create this this trail or this this experience. So that's where I think you can benefit from those. But generally, with positive association with the movie, you're able to increase the awareness of the destination as a whole, which is what you want. So if they don't come specifically for aspects of the movie, they'll learn something else about the destination. In our case, it's the nature, it's the indigenous people that we still have, so they will come to our music festival, so they'll come for some of these things as well. And just before I end, I leave it to the panel and maybe the audience to figure out what the association is between Dominica and Game of Thrones.
Oh, I don't know. Does anyone know? I mean, we are going to open it up to questions now. I know we've just run out of time, but if anyone has any questions.
Oh, hi. I was just wondering, obviously, as you're like looking at film scripts and evaluating whether it's something you'd want for your country, do you actually looking now or trying to influence it so that people don't pick places like Petra, which are incredibly famous and people really want to visit anyway, the films, and actually maybe, like you're saying, like desert experience, caves, things where you can kind of curate experience where it's not actually going to bring even more people to UNESCO sites?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I think what it does is the mere fact that it enables a conversation in the pre-planning phase, allow for, you know, destinations who maybe are pre-selected by the writers and producers to have somewhat of an input. You know, it's probably going to be a small input though, because the creative ownership is always going to rest with the writers and producers, and they know what they want to depict. It then becomes a conversation whether or not it's your destination or your destination or your destination, because the creative power is going to override what you think is best for the tourism value of your destination. And as much as it becomes a part of the conversation, it's probably the lesser of the conversation. And that's where you have to choose. And that's where destinations get to decide, do I make this investment or don't I make this investment? And so it becomes your decision truly on whether or not it gets filmed there, because ultimately it's yours. Because you have a say in the investment that is required to make it happen anyways. So yes, I take the point, and that's why we sit and we, with the producers, we ask questions, we satisfy ourselves that, you know, what is being depicted is what you want or what works for you as much as it works for the producers. You don't always get the tie-in, and so you have to make a different decision at that point in time. But the mere fact that you have an opportunity to have an input is all important.
Any more questions?
It's actually just a curiosity of mine. When you're getting film scripts and all that stuff and they're actually wanting to use your beautiful locations, are you taking any environmental precautions for wildlife and also for littering and all those things when you're vetting the movies and allowing them to go on these places?
Yep. Yeah, in the case of Dominica, I mean, we have national parks with a policy. And so part of the discussions and part of the application process will look at all of that, look at what is being displaced. If there's a carrying capacity and you're going to utilize the location for a month or whatnot, we'll look at how to positively redistribute people who would ordinarily have wanted to come into that location. But certainly the environmental aspects of things we do take into consideration. And certainly to the extent that we can prevent or dissuade those things from happening, we do so.
I'd love to carry on, but we've run out of time. So thank you so much for being here for our live recording of the podcast. If you want to listen to the podcast, which of course you do, it's WTM Insights Podcast. You can find it online. Just Google it. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Spotify, every single podcast app. It's absolutely free, like all podcasts. And yeah, come and join us. We've got lots more exciting guests and interesting features on there. So thank you very much to the panel and for everyone for coming. Thank you. Thank you for listening to our latest episode of WTM Insights. We'll be releasing exciting content throughout the year, so please subscribe to ensure you don't miss out. See you next time.